anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time. On time, any place, anywhere. Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere.
For that this morning. We got several prayer requests this morning. We'll see if Brother John Horniak don't mind to come and pray over these. Remember Sister Linda Nunley, she's sick today, requesting prayer. Brother Gene Littleton has asked that we continue to pray for his nephew, Jerry Baines, still in the hospital recovering from surgery. Just ask for healing and saving of his soul. Also remember Sister Bella Baines in prayer. That's Jerry's mother. He also would like for us to remember his family. Carter Lawson turns in a request for a sister in the Lord, request for a family matter. The Estep family turns in an unspoken prayer request. Brother Jerry Glenn would like to thank everyone for their prayers, flowers, and the church for all you've done. Been a blessing in this time of loss for Sister Didiana's mother. And they just ask that you continue to pray for the family and Sister Deanna. She's still in Ohio taking care of the family business matters there. Sister Janet Barron asks us for two unspoken requests, and also for traveling mercies for son Bruce, who's in Peru for a week. So just remember that. Brother Randy Walton would like for us to remember his mom. He had to take her back to the emergency room. She fell Monday. Please pray that we can get her treated properly. Also, let's remember Sister King. She's sick in body. And pray for Sister Lou Bean, who has a stomach virus, and also her grandchildren who have pneumonia. So let's remember those needs. If we could stand this morning as John comes, I'll just share a testimony with you. Last night, Brother Kurt Sackers turned in this testimony. He would like to thank the Lord for touching him. And he's got a list of things that the Lord has just removed from his life. He said he had an irregular heartbeat, and that's gone. High blood pressure, that's gone. Plantar fasciitis, that's gone. Joint pain, both knees, that's gone. Constant kidney trouble, that's gone. And severe asthma, and that's gone. So he's an on-time guy.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, and so incredibly amazed day by day, Father, the wonderful things that you're doing, Lord, in our lives, and not only physically, Lord, and not only mentally, Lord Jesus, but spiritually, Lord. You're lifting us higher and higher, Lord. And Lord, we're just so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you care so much for us, that you would humble yourself all the way down to come pluck us out of this dark world, Lord Jesus. And you show us so much light, Lord. We're blessed beyond measure. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, more than we can express with words, Lord. We truly love you and we thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, because of those things, Lord, because you reveal yourself in so many ways and you do so many things for us, it's not a question why we pray. It's not a question, Lord Jesus, why we come to you, Lord. When we have needs, when we have problems, Lord, these requests, Father, they were brought up here, Lord Jesus, not just to take up our time, Lord, but Lord, they're brought because we have needs and we're bringing to the provider, Lord. We're bringing them to Jehovah Jireh, Lord Jesus. And we're bringing them to the Comforter, Lord. We're laying them down at your feet, believing with all our hearts that you're more than able, Father. We pray, Father God, that you would just come, Lord, and each request according to your will would be answered, Father. We love you and we know, Father God, that you're more than able. We're looking forward, Lord Jesus, to what you have for us tomorrow, Lord, because we know that you have our best interest in mind at all times, Father God. And you know exactly what we have need of, Lord Jesus. And you know exactly what trials we need to go through, Father, to make us ready for that glad day, Father God, when you call us home. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're here for, Lord Jesus, to hear from you so that you would be able to get us closer to you, Lord, so that we could go home, Father. And Lord, each of these requests, Father, there was sickness and needs in bodies. Lord Jesus, you're the great healer, Father God. You heal our bodies when we have need of, Lord. There was Sister Deanna lost her mother, Lord Jesus, and so many others. It seems like death is carrying so many of our loved ones away, Father. But you are a comforter, Lord. When we can find no comfort, Lord Jesus, you're able to lift us up, Lord. You're able to prop us up, Lord Jesus, and encourage us, Father. We're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that we can come to this place and hear more of you, Lord, that we would be ready to go home, Father. We're looking forward to hearing the word today, Lord Jesus. May it change our hearts, Lord. May it change, Lord, our very being, Father, that we might get closer to you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Just anoint the service, Lord. Anoint the musician. Anoint the singers, Lord Jesus. The song leader, Father. Anoint those that hear, Father. We pray that you would take away any distractions and just help us, Father God, to focus on you. We love you and we thank you for it. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Brother John. You can be seated this morning. Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave your peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? So we walk right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing. More. And he said, I walked on the water.
just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through? And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea.
Raise your hands this morning. If he spoke to you,
wind made it hush, then I gave you peace.
Didn't I run to your rescue?
Didn't I hear you when you called? Right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall.
Didn't I leave all of heaven
just to die for your sin?
I searched until I found you,
and I'd do it all again.
Amen. Let's sing that. We are the generation. We are the generation. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering this morning, then we're going to have two specials this morning. If Justin, if you'd like to come up and have a seat and get ready to sing second, and then I think Sister Cindy and Anna and some folks have a song together for us if y'all want to come ahead. We'll just sing this chorus together, We Are the Generation, as they get ready to sing. So they want to come, be getting ready. Let's sing this chorus together.
We are the generation. We're the culmination, final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord is near, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. We are the chosen generation.
Let's sing it together again.
And we are the generation. We're the culmination. Final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord so near. Living out the revelation. Overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. We are the chosen generation.
Lord, Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hand. wings are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. And Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Your angels are watching over me. Barren wilderness, where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns where no light had ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying.
Looking forward to what Brother Donnie would have for us this morning. Amen. Find out our Calvinistic and our Arminian views are needing some refining. That's me. You may have already had it straightened out, but I'm looking forward to this morning because I need a little more straightening out. But I'm thankful to have a heart, and I know you are the same. I just want to know the truth. I have no problem accepting the fact that I've been wrong. And I think that comes from God. I think that's born in us, and we can never be thankful enough for that, a heart that wants to receive the truth, able to take correction. So this morning, I'm looking forward to getting in my seat and saying, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Whatever you have for me this morning, I'm here to accept it. I love truth. I appreciate our pastor that provides us with that truth. Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. I
resting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup.
Today for that very purpose. Amen. I so appreciate the Word of God coming to speak to us and help us and encourage us and bring healing to us, don't you? Amen. He's just so mindful of us. We're going to pray over the Word, but before we do, Brother Rocky Ward had asked me if I would make known to the church, maybe many of you already know, Sister Sharon's situation or condition. But he had sent me a text with several things here. As you know, she's undergone two back surgeries to prepare 5 compression fractures. And this week, 2 more fractures were discovered and now may be facing a 3rd back surgery. But along with these issues, what some of you may not know is the doctors have diagnosed Sister Sharon with cancer called multiple myeloma. It's a type of cancer of the plasma cells in the blood and causes bone loss. She is in constant pain, eating very little in over a month. Due to the pain medications, she has no strength as a result. The family covets your prayers for all of them during this difficult time. We know that our Lord has more power than all the power of sickness and disease, don't he? Amen. So we certainly want to remember them today. I'm sure that others of you have a need in your life. You'd like to make it known to the Lord, raising your hand. Let's just ask him to help us today. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we approach you through the mercy and the grace of God that has been given to us, we're thankful for the chance to call you our Father, for the ability given to us to pray, knowing that as far as Gentiles' national status, we were at one time were considered dogs, a people that was not even a nation, really. But we're so grateful that the grace of God and the plan of God allowed us to be brought into the economy of God. We're asking you today, Lord, that you would just help us. You know this situation, Father, with Sister Sharon Ward, and we're just asking you, dear God, that you would move on her behalf. Heavenly Father, cancer to us is a very fearful, frightening term. But yet we know that one of the first books you ever had your prophet to be able to write in this age was, Do You Fear Cancer? There was a reason for that. I pray, Lord, that you would just help her. We're grateful for all that medical science can do and all the doctors can be able to help her with. But we know this is a demon, and this demon can hide sometimes from their scans and their knives and all that, but he can't hide from you. I pray, Lord, that you just move for her. Help the family, dear God, during this time. You know, Lord, with Missy going through what she did, and now, Lord, it comes back on their mom and wife and all that in the family. I know it's difficult for them. But may you comfort them and help them. Heavenly Father, you saw the other hands that were uplifted. You see these prayer cloths I have in my hand today. You're mindful of all of our needs. Would you take your word and speak to us today, Father? In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I've got a couple announcements also that I was asked to make today. Aaron Vaughn and Melissa McNulty have become engaged today. And they have an August wedding planned. And Isaiah Vaughn and Shay Gall also have a wedding planned in October. Congratulations. And the Lord Jesus and His bride already have a wedding going on. And you are, of course, greatly invited to that one. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. God revealed His place of worship to Enoch, to Job, to Abraham, to Moses, to David. When God's place of worship came on the earth, God revealed it to John the Baptist, and he turns and says, "Behold, God's place of worship, the Lamb of God." Amen. Praise the Lord. So if God was going to reveal these down through the ages, and he chose a certain channel by which he would reveal it, then we believe that if God would make it more clear, reveal it further, revelation of his place of worship, then it seems to me that God would want to use the same channel. Wouldn't you think so? The channel being a prophet. Not a theologian, not a pastor, not a TV evangelist, but a prophet. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do, tell me again,
nothing.
But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now this is God's own character displayed in Scripture, that God will do nothing. He reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I send unto Donnie. I read my name here. You? I send unto you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1 verse 16. Luke chapter 1 verse 16. Many of the children of Israel, speaking of John the Baptist now, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias. Now listen what the angel of God is saying about the ministry of John the Baptist, that he's going to come in the spirit and power of Elias. Notice how he divides Malachi 4 into two parts. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. But isn't it amazing that he doesn't pick up the last part of that when he says the heart of the children to their fathers? Why? That was not fulfilled in John the Baptist. Now, notice this is not us saying that. This is the angel of God. So it's not message people that are trying to find a certain spot where we can dissect the scripture and be able to slide our messenger in there and make him fit in the scripture. We don't have to make him fit. He already fits in the scripture. So the angel of God specifically said then that John the Baptist would come in the spirit and the power of Elias, and that he would fulfill this first part of Malachi 4. Now watch, Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. The Lord Jesus on the earth, he's speaking about his leaving. He is going to Jerusalem to be crucified and all that. And the disciples are a little bit perplexed because they don't understand, because they've been taught all of their life that Elijah is going to come first. So they're thinking, now wait a minute, you're going to be crucified and you're fixing to leave? We don't understand how all this works. I thought Elijah was supposed to come first before you could leave. And his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Now listen at your Savior
And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come. Now, okay, I'm not as smart as some of you all. I didn't graduate from high school. I don't have any degrees. I don't have any college, anything like that. But I did learn this going to school. Shall does mean in the future. You will give me that credit, right? Shall does mean in the future. This is not some preacher using a play on words. This is the Lord Jesus placing categorically the fulfillment of the last part of Malachi 4. And he answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come. Now notice what he will do when he comes and restore all things, not just water baptism, not the way we should dress, not the way we should worship, not how we believe the Godhead, but he will restore all things. And the church said, amen. Look at the word restore. Restore again. Restore to its former state. To be in its former state. Amen. So if we had something in a created original condition, then it was lost, it was hampered with, it was dealt with, manhandled by denominations and reformers. And then God will send a prophet to restore. Then it won't be a 1953 Ford truck with a Volkswagen windshield wiper motor. Praise the Lord. It won't be a Ford truck with a Chevy engine. It won't have twin I-beam off of something else. If it's original, it's original. Praise the Lord. So if we are the bride and our hearts have been turned. Now this is the point of it that I want you to keep in mind. That for most of us, our hearts were not turned instantaneously. Our hearts were not turned at the moment that we recognized God sent a prophet. Hang on. Many of us, our hearts are still being turned this very day. And I pray and hope to God that after this service, some of you find your hearts have been turned a little bit more because the message of Malachi 4 is still ongoing. It has not stopped. It is still ongoing. And our hearts, as we hear the word, our hearts are continually being turned principle by principle, fact of God's truth by fact of God's truth, revelation after revelation. So don't count yourself out and don't count others out just because they've been around for a long time and maybe not see everything that you see. Now watch, Jesus said, and he answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But now watch, he answers them in a twofold way. In verse 12, but I say unto you that Elias is come already. Now you say, Brother Donnie, then that totally refuted what he said in verse 11. It absolutely done no such a thing. Jesus established the fact that there was a future coming of Elias and he would restore all things. John the Baptist did not restore all things. Praise the Lord. He did not do it. Now, for those who've left the message and want to tell us we're following a false prophet and Brother Branham was not a true prophet of God, somebody has got to fulfill this scripture. Then if Brother Branham didn't do it, pray tell me who can. If you want to lead me away from this message, what do you want to lead me to? Until you point to me something better, greater, more glorious, more power, more transforming of the Word of God, I will stick with what I have. I will stick with this until something better comes. And I don't plan on leaving no time in the future, since I know according to the Word of God, there is nothing greater that will arise than what has already been done. So I'm not going to spend my time looking for something new. I'm going to spend my time on eating what's already here and being conformed to what's already been said by this message. And the church said, now, notice this, in the revelation of this message, as we were looking at it last night, that in the great view of the Godhead and the great power of God, we know that the major dispute actually come in the apostolic era. The first great big dispute was over the Godhead, of trying to understand the oneness of the Godhead. But the very next largest dispute would actually be what we discussed last night. On the sovereignty of God, the grace of God, the unconditional security of the believer, foreknowledge, predestination, free moral agency of man versus the sovereignty of man, of God's choice, man's choice. And it would be the very next thing that's come down through the ages that has divided the churches. And as I read to you last night historically, that John Calvin lived in the time frame of up to around 1504, 1604 rather. And then coming from him would be Jacobius Arminius. And from there comes a great two schools of thought as far as election, predestination, choosing, foreknowledge. Now those things have been embattled. Theologians for hundreds and hundreds of years have argued, debated, and fussed over, which we're not here to do that today. We don't believe the Word of God is made to be argued and fussed over. We believe it is made to be looked at, conformed to, and understand. Now, if we don't understand parts about it, what do? We go to Him who has the ability to illuminate and ask Him to help us. Is that right? And that's truly what we want to do. Now, in the message, since Brother Branham was sent to gather the loose ends of all the mysteries that have been down through the ages, you will find a growth and an acceleration of the understanding of the prophet of God on many, many things. Now, I know that people want to take and say, when the message first started in 1947, whenever we have the recorded version of it, that is, that Brother Branham understood everything about all things. That is not the truth. Brother Branham grew an understanding about blood, about the mercy of God, about many, many principles of God, and he'd done the exact same thing when it comes to security and predestination and election and foreknowledge. And that's why whenever you study the message, you will find Arminianism in the message. You will find Calvinism in the message. But you must do that as you do every other thing in the message is, and you must allow this prophet of God to grow in his understanding as we grow in ours. And follow him as he grows and watch the consummation of those doctrines, and that's what I want myself. I don't want just the early stages. Now this is going to offend some of you, but I don't want just the early stages in the healing stage of the message. I want when the message begins to sound. Now, I refuse no tapes. I refuse no sermons. Absolutely not. I'm not a 63 and 4 or 5 guy and that's it. No, sir. I want to take everything that was revelation in 47 was revelation in 65. God could reveal it in 47 and add more to it, which is what he done. So this is why that you'll find in the message, and you'll find people that are Arminians, and you'll find them that are Calvinists. Because in the message, you're going to find Arminian quotes that will seem to substantiate the Arminian theology. And you will also find quotes in the message that will seem to substantiate the Calvinistic view. Because Brother Branham is preaching to both, and he loved both. And he cared for both, but he wanted both sides to be straightened out. And the revelation of this was as the revelation of many other things in his life. It culminated in the last few years of his own walk with God. He could not fully restore us back to the original faith until he himself had been fully restored. Now there were certain things even about the new birth. The quote I read to you last night about the new birth. Many of you know, even as far up as 1962, that Brother Branham taught that the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost were two separate things. But as the oh my Lord. You know that. I've read that to you and proved that to you over and over again. He believed the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost were two separate things. But as the revelation of God went on to him, he began to see it was not two separate things. It was one thing. Now what was that? It was part of that Armenian thing. It was part of that concept. Hang on. Part of the tradition that Brother Branham as a man had. Oh, I know some of y'all just nearly swallowed your false teeth. But allow him to be what he was. A man. He could only preach as God allowed him to preach. Thank God we have a prophet that was able to grow in the grace of God. That's right. So he grew in his understanding on many, many things. So he could not bring to us the restored version of the new birth until he himself saw it correctly. Neither could he bring to us the correct restored application of election, foreknowledge, choosing, and all that until he himself saw it. Now the problem will be with the message people is that they will take a hold of the quotes if they're not careful. And they will take a hold of the quotes that back up their Armenian view, and they will refuse to progress as he progressed. Or they will take a hold of the quotes that back up a Calvinistic view, and there again they will stay right there and stop right there. But neither of them will help you see who you are. If Calvinism will help you see who you are and give your rapturing faith, it already should have been produced hundreds of years ago. If Arminianism will help you see who you are in Christ Jesus, then we shouldn't even be here today in 2016. The rapture should have took place at least 600 or 700 years ago. Praise the Lord. Now, for those of you who are holding strict Calvinism, you are holding to doctrine which has been around for 500, 600 years, and you are holding to the ideology of a reformer and not a prophet. For those of you who are holding to strict Arminianism, you are holding to the doctrine of a Dutch Reformed pastor. So if it come down to taking two men's word, I don't have a bitter problem telling you which one I'm going to take. You want to take a Dutch Reformed pastor? Entirely up to you. I'm going to take a current modern events made clear by a prophecy prophet. Even if it is opinion, I'm going to take his opinion over a Dutch Reformed pastor. Which I might say was Trinitarian. Now, watch this. And works is faith expressed. Now, that brings to pass today, he said, because we have faith, and I know this is of God, it's because this and other scriptures point to this hour, Revelation 10. And in the hour of the seventh angel's message, when he begins to sound forth his message, not in a healing service, but the message that follows the healing service. Now, this is where in the 40s and the 50s, even the early 60s, that we're going to find things that's there. Because what's he doing? He's only saying as far as he knows, as far as he understands. Come on now, children. Again, he says, I've heard, but now I see. Then he promised in the hour of the seventh angel's message, the seven seals would be revealed and the mysteries of God would be declared, Revelation 10, when the seventh angel begins to sound the message, not the healing service. Notice the dates of these two sermons when they are preached. 11:26, 65. 11:27, 65. He is at Jack Moore's in Shreveport. The last, a month left of his life. A month left of his life, and now he's positionally placing himself and trying to get the message followers to understand. He's fixing to go off the scene in a month's time. He's fixing to go off the scene. He's going to leave these tapes for us. He knew that there would be all my people that would listen. He knew that there would be preachers that would stand up and preach the message. And this is a very important part for them preachers to preach. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice this now. These ain't my words. These are his. When the seventh angel begins to sound his message, not the healing service, the message that follows the healing service. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Some of y'all ain't going to like it, but what's new about that? You know, Brother Branham was very ecumenical in some of his early years. Hello. Why? Because that's where it was. It was the very end. Malachi 4, he says, in 1962, spoken words original seed has not yet been fulfilled. So when that anointing comes on, you see that ecumenical thing flying out the window. For many years, he held his peace on this and that and the other. Somebody turned loose serpent seed tape among his people, and you can hear him stand at them and say, brothers, I'm really sorry about that. That should have never happened. I'm sorry they done that. And, you know, that man that did that, he's no longer with us, and I'm really sorry about that sort of thing. But as the ministry kept on going, he said, I've kept quiet long enough. It's time to say it. Let it out. Let the seed out. Why? The time had arrived. What was it? A change in the prophet's ministry. That he, it wasn't that he stopped now praying for the sick and all that, but the emphasis on the healing, on the miracles had now changed to what? The restoration of the word. Now the Elijah anointing was there in order to bring a restored truth back to the people of God that was living then and consequently that would follow, which is us. Thank God. Oh, I love the miracles. I love the healing and the discernment. But Brother Branham wasn't the only one that had miracles. Jack Cole had all kinds of miracles. A. Allen had all kinds of miracles, but Jack Cole didn't leave a message. Hey, yeah, Allen never left a message. Or Roberts never left a message. He left a university. But Brother Brown didn't give us a university. He left a message that would draw us closer to God. Exactly right. Now watch in Malachi 4, aren't we supposed, he said, promise another eagle, a pillar of light to be following to show the erring church this day that it is Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't we promised another one to come flying from the wilderness? Amen. That's exactly the truth. How fitting and matching it is to Luke 17:30. When the Son of Man eagle will be revealing himself to bring to naught all other worship places, such as denominations and so forth, God chose his place. John said, there it is. Now notice then, God could not send another reformer, another just a revivalist that would do it, but he needed a prophet. Then we're promised the same thing in the last day, Malachi 4, to turn the hearts of the children back to say that he is not dead. Those things are not for another age. Baptism in Jesus' name was not back there, but he's now the same. To bring to naught all other places of worship. That's what the last day eagle is to do. To show that all the rest of it is foolishness. Denomination is folly. But to point him again with the same sign that he did, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what's it to do? It is to bring then a message to bring back the proper place of worship. Which I'm not saying, let you know, it is not necessarily in this building. It is not necessarily in a church down the road. But it is in Christ. But getting in Christ by revelation and you recognizing who you are, then you are in the gate. As actually you become a part of the family name, and the name of the Father, Jesus Christ, is placed upon you, and there you are sealed to the day of your redemption. Oh, praise the Lord. So now then, if we are going to be restored to the right name, to the right water baptism, to the right dress, to the right belief of so many things in the church, then would God allow us to only be restored back to the 1500s when it comes to our perception of election? Makes no sense to me. Watch again. Let us resume in the church age book. St. John 15:16. You have not chosen me. But I have chosen you. Now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, Brother Donnie, don't you believe in free moral agency? I do. I honestly do. It's caused me a lot of trouble, but I believe in it. The Bible don't say that, but I believe in it. I've got one. And I know y'all have got one because that's what's caused you so much trouble in your life. And why are y'all scared to death? Somebody's going to take that old rotten thing from you anyhow. I love predestination more than I do my free moral agency. You Armenians didn't clap your hands? What's the problem here? I mean... Now watch, according to the word of God. You see, friend, when people around the message will say, well, this is Brother Branham's idea. This is Brother Branham's opinion. Brother Branham is not pointing us to his idea. He's pointing us to Scripture. According to the Word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purposed in himself. Glory. Again, in Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to make a bride, listen now, of his own choosing. And that purpose was in himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. So you mean he made up his mind before he even asked you? Yes, Watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God, God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him. He was at that time only potentially God. And he was known only as eternal spirit, the bride. Glory! The bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing. But how? In his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal. Are they not? The thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are. Now listen now. This is the way many people have the thoughts of God. This is the way they project it. Through Arminianism. The thoughts of God are not simply like a man with a blueprint. Now this is the way Arminian does it. That it's a blueprint. So God said way back here in eternity, and God looked way down through time, and God said, you and 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 all the other people that will choose him. So God can't do it now. So God's totally bound by your choice. So God then looked and he said, okay, you choose me, you choose me, you choose me. Okay, because you choose me, I choose you. Oh wow. I just don't understand why Jesus didn't understand that then. I mean, it looks out to me that Jesus would have said, now, Peter, I chose you because you chose me. And John, I chose you because you chose me. You see, Jesus wasn't Arminian, nor was he Calvinist. He was the Word. So then God sees everybody's choice, and then God draws out this great big blueprint. God sets up and he just draws out. You're saying, no, no, no. Okay, now. Now I'm just. Just by whose means? You mean to tell me you're going to judge the Almighty God? You little peanut brain. You're going to judge God by your standards and say, it ain't just for God. You? Show me your credentials. How many universes have you made? Come on. You couldn't make a sun. Some of you couldn't even make a peach. You couldn't make a raisin. And yet you want to tell God how to run his business? Well, not me, friends. I'm going to take him at his word. Now watch. God is not like a man with a blueprint that he's drawn up, which one day will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal and part of God. Down through the centuries we could go and we find a, oh no, individual names? No, I mean, I thought the church was elected corporately and it's not individualized. That's your Armenian theology. We find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. Each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed, and he became known as the Word. That's what he is and forever will be. Now it says that he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. I understand Armenian Baptists that can't take this. I don't understand people that have sat in this message for 50 years and claim this man to be their prophet, and they cannot take these quotes. You tell me this don't need to be preached. You tell me tradition ain't powerful. But to go on, these elect were not only the eternal thoughts of God, which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season. Oh my goodness. He's dealing with these people as if though they were substance and form. But these same elect are called by another name. Revelation 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end thereof the promise might be sure to all the seed, not unto them only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now what? The seed. So the seed was already in the thoughts of God. They were already substance. You mean before you had a right to choose? Romans 9, 7-13. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time when I come and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one even our father Isaac, the children not being yet born, neither having done good or evil. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Hey friends, we're reading from the Bible today. Not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Oh, I love this part. These who are the royal seed are the elect of God. Are the predestinated, foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and His thoughts. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each came forth in the designated decreed season, and each member, not collectively, not as a body, but each member came forth and it's expressed and it took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed. Bride. Thus this bride is the literal spoken word. See, Brother Donnie, I'm that because I wanted to be there. Wow, I've got a few things around the house I need you to fix for me. I mean, man, if your will is greater than the eternal, would you care to come go with me to the hospital this evening? Would you mind going down to a lot of places that I've been and to heal a bunch of folks and to raise a bunch of folks up as dying with cancer? I mean, because if your will is that powerful, it's bigger than God. You see what extreme Arminianism leads to? Idiotic theology. Just like extreme Calvinism. But I want to be so extremely in this word that I will be extremely gone after a while. Now watch, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that. For she was predestinated in him, came from the same source, was eternal with him, and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body. Oh my Lord. Whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then here we're coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos God was manifested in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That eternal one was the Father made manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. Thereby gained the title of Son. The eternal one was made manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. The eternal one was made flesh and thereby gained the title of Son. The eternal one was made flesh and thereby gained the title of Son. No, my record ain't stuck. I want you to see a pattern. I want you to see a type. As the eternal one was made manifest in a body of flesh and called a son, so the eternal one would be made manifest at other bodies called sons and daughters of God. Why, because they came from the same source, eternity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 That eternal one was the Father manifest in the flesh and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so, we. Eternal. In his thoughts. And our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed. Manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are what? Same result, sons of God. As the eternal one became flesh and thereby gained the title of son, even so we, coming from the mind of God, become flesh and thereby gain what? The title of sons and daughters of God. Everybody all right? Good. Because I got some more to read. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore, now you see Armenian folks can't stand this. I ain't talking about a yonder. I'm talking about in our own ranks. Why? This goes contrary to what they've always believed. So, don't about everything else that the prophet restored us back to, don't go contrary to everything we ever believed. Some of y'all have been like me. You come through all seven church ages 13 times. You've been Trinitarian, you've been oneness, you've been twoness, threeness, fourness, fiveness, thirteenness, you don't even know what you've been all through your whole life. Come on, friends, let's just acknowledge that we've been messed up bad. This proves to me why we needed a prophet, Brother Dow, to come and help us tie these loose ends together. If not, we'd be 5-point, you know, Armenian, or 5-point Calvinist, or we'd be a 2-point Calvinist mixed up with 3-point Armenian. You don't know what you believe. Oh, but thank God, I'm so glad we can sit here today by divine revelation of the word and realize God did not want to leave us in this messed up state. So what did he do? He sent a restoration message and said this: get out of all them doors and come into the provided place of worship, Christ the Word. And there you can worship God. There him and his family are worshiped together. But you see, where Calvin believed that only the elect would be saved, and Calvin was totally wrong. There will be millions of people that will be there that day that were not elect. Calvin couldn't see him. Armenian looked at it, and Jacobus Arminius, he looked at it in the Word. He couldn't figure it out. How in the world can that be? Well, man's free moral agency. This, that, and the other. And he'd look over here where Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. That he come to save his people from their sins, and there shall be a generation called to him a seed. And he couldn't figure it all out. Why? The evening light hadn't come. So they're in the darkness of the church ages. What were they under? The man anointed. My, you may read some of the writings of some of these reformers, of Calvin, Zwingli, and Knox, and Wolfgang Petek, and all these different men. And you realize they were under that man anointing. And they would write and write, and some of the words they come up with was just phenomenal. And every one of them, Trinitarians. Every one of them Trinitarians. Some of them sitting there smoking pipes while they're writing these great inspirational books. Sitting there drinking a little beer on the side. Why? Because they were stumbling around in the darkness of the church ages. But God said, in the end time, it shall be light again. And when the light comes on, then you look around and say, oh my goodness. That's what we stumbled over. Well, glory. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. For non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Glory. Hold this carefully in mind. Now we take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood, bought back his own. He bought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, the word, and they follow me. Oh, glory to God. If one of my shoes fly off here in a minute, somebody grab it for me, would you? You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned to a sheep. That is impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind, and there is no change in species, and we were in the thoughts of God then expressed in flesh. Hallelujah! There's come a day when we would hear His voice and recognize the voice. What was it? Of our Father calling us. What my shoes, my cufflink. Oh, glory. We were in the thoughts of God. Before I had a choice to choose. Oh, but Brother Donnie, you're missing important things. See, God did that based upon your choice. Now, where does the Bible say that? And you stand up right now and point me to the chapter and the verse, and I'll let you read it to us. Hello? Well, if you can't prove me wrong, hold your blabbering mouth. Well, glory. Now, you see, this is where the Calvinists went to seed. This is where the Armenians went to seed. And this is where the bride's going to seed. The real seed word. They got out on branches, and the devil got behind them and took a chainsaw and cut them off. But remember, I told you last night, the prophet said the Bible was still in the tree trunk. So we want to come back to the trunk of the tree of life. We want to know where Scripture meets Scripture, don't we? Now watch, as we were in the thoughts of God then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear His voice, the Word. And hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard His voice and we cried out, no, no, there's no way. There's no way He's going to liken us to the prodigal son. As did the prodigal son. Save me, O my Father. I am returning to Thee. You remember this story of the prodigal son? I'll preach it to you sometime, the Lord willing. What happened to that prodigal son? The Scripture says he came to himself. Glory. Friends, that's real redemption for the bride. Oh, that's not the foolish virgin. I hear that's not all the countless of millions that are out there. I'm talking about the bride. But God's love went beyond the bride, even over to those that were not His own. And He said, whosoever will, you can come too. And if you don't want to go to hell, you don't have to. Based on what? Their choice. But you're here today not based on your choice, but you're here based on the choice of God before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Save me. Oh, my Father. I am returning to Thee. Well, Brother Donnie, theoretically, I agree with you to a degree that we're predestinated by foreknowledge. Okay. But let's make sure it's the Bible definition of foreknowledge and not your Armenian view. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow. Let's look at the meaning of the word, brothers. Foreordained, know before, to have knowledge beforehand, to foreknow, to predestinate. Those whom God foreknew, so they Now remember, Paul chose this word pre-Calvin. Paul chose this word pre-Arminian. This is the way the first century believed predestination. Glory to God. Those whom God foreknew, so that they would let them. Oh, you said that's not the correct definition of foreknowledge, according to you. I didn't realize you wrote the Greek dictionary. You see what I'm saying, friend? This is where it comes to. People in their tradition and theology, then they can no longer accept even Scripture. Because they're so steeped in their theology, they'll not let it go. So what else are you holding on to? What else hasn't your heart been turned back to? Oh my. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many slaves? Brethren. First Peter chapter 1 verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained, which is the exact same Greek word of Romans 8:29, foreknow. However God ordained Christ, he foreordained and by foreknowledge ordained you. So did God foreordain Jesus? Now, I need somebody to go down there and die for all them poor old people down there. They're so pitiful. I'm sitting up here in heaven. I'm so depressed. God so loved the world. I love to all the pieces. And then Jesus, the little boy up in heaven, I said, Daddy, I'll do it. I'll do it. And God said, well, I'm so glad. My poor little son, you've got to go all through this, but I'm so glad that, well, now that you've agreed to it, I'll foreordain you. It was in the mind of God. And that thought of Jesus Christ become material. And God foreordained it in the exact same pattern of the pleasure of his own goodwill. Because you and him came from the same source. You see, to a first century Jew who knew the background, the historical teaching of his, through his rabbis and his patriarchal fathers, this would not have been a hard, difficult concept at all for them to be able to comprehend, especially if they were Christians. For them to believe that God would have chosen a man or a particular race or a particular people above all others, they would have not struggled with it. Let's read in Genesis chapter 17 verse 2 about their father, referring to Abraham. This is God talking. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Amen. Sounds like to me God's talking to a piece of dirt. And telling that piece of dirt, I'm going to make you a certain vessel. And I'm going to put a handle on the side. I'm going to roll the edge over and I'm going to make it lit. Are you willing, teacup? Glory. Verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after them, their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed forever. And I will. God ain't even giving him time between breaths to say, can I say something? Are you not going to offer me my will? Now aren't you going to let me choose whether or not I want all these things? Why in the name of God would you not want eternal life? Why in the world would you not be shouting your shoe heels off to know that if he sovereignly chose you before the world? I don't understand. Oh my. I will give it to thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. Yes, sir. Amen. I love it. What if God done with all this speech? And Abraham said, sir, you forgot to ask me if I even wanted all this stuff. I don't want this. You just wasted your breath. Let me drop you a powerful bomb right now. This little secret thing that you're treasuring, and this little thing that some of you Free Will Baptists are so scared you're going to give up, your consent and your will, it works like this in the supernatural equation of God. Your choice, if you are elect, is the fruit or the outworking of His previous choice. It's not the other way around. That His choice is the outworking of your choice. Will I make the choice? You will. But you will make it because it is the fruit and the outworking of the choice that He made before the world ever began. And your choice will agree with His choice. This is why God didn't have to stop at every verse and say, okay, 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 okay. Abraham would say okay, but Abraham's okay would be the outworking of God's own choice. Did you choose? Sure you did. Did you make up your mind? Sure you did. After He made up His eyes. Oh, glory to God. Now I don't feel like English is good enough to speak in. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 14:2, for thou art a holy people to the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar, and the word peculiar is a treasure, a sacred, holy treasure. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a peculiar treasure, peculiar people unto Himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 28:5. David speaking. And all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. David had many sons, but there was one son chosen. God has many people in His kingdom, but there's one particular group that's His bride. The rest of it are people of the kingdom. They are the nations of the new earth. Oh, Brother Donnie, I don't see grace in that. That's all I see. That's all I see, that many of them are nothing but multiplication of human life. And God offers them the opportunity. If you don't want to go to hell, you don't have to. And millions of them will say, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But will they ever be bride? No, that come from His mind. But this other is the offering of grace. Thank God He's so loving. And He said unto me, Solomon, my son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son. So God chose one of David's sons to be His son. You mean God can do that? Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Amen. Psalms 105:43. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Psalms 135:4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Isaiah 41:8. But thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. My friend, Abraham, my friend, do you all get to choose your friends? Now you're thinking it's a trick question. Everybody's afraid to say anything. Yes, I'll answer it for you. Now you can relax. Is there certain people that might want to be friends with you, and you try, and it just don't seem like it worked because there's a compatibility, something that's missing there. Right? And that they may want to be your friend. Maybe you're very popular or whatever, and they want to be your friend. Just seem like it don't work. You say, well, I try to be friends with them, but I just can't be friends with them. Oh, now so-and-so, she's really my friend. And so-and-so, he's really my friend. Can you imagine God needing buddies? Needing friends? It would have been one thing to me if Abraham would have said this. But God said, Abraham, he's my buddy. He's my friend. And because he's my friend, I've chosen his people. It pays to be a friend of God, you know what I mean? Is that unjust? Now be careful, you're going to hang yourself. If you say God's unjust because he has certain friends, then you'll be unjust for people who want to be your friends and you don't really like them. Thank you, Lord. Can I go to the New Testament? So the last shall be the first and the first shall be the last. For many be called, but few chosen. St. John 13:17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Speaking of Judas. Jesus speaking to the disciples now after that Judas is gone. Remember, this is spoken, St. John 15 is spoken after the Last Supper, after the communion. And they're fixing to leave the upper room and they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch Jesus unveil one of the last mysteries before crucifixion. The correct understanding of election. Yes, sir. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Let's all look at the meaning of this word. To pick or choose out for oneself. Choosing one out of many. Of God choosing whom he judged fit to receive his favors and separated from the rest of mankind to be particularly his own, peculiarly his own, and to be attended continually by his gracious oversight. Now you see, this was written first century Christianity. So they could take it without Arminian cloudiness. They could read this without Calvinistic overshadowing. They could read this straight from the lips of Jesus, knowing the Greek word that was used, and they could scream out, Amen! Their choice of him was the fruit of his choice for them. You ever notice how Jesus called the disciples? He walked up to one, Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, and he was there writing for the receipt for the custom of the tax, and he saith unto him, follow me. He didn't even ask him if he wanted to. He just said, follow me. Show me one of the disciples that he called that he asked him of the question. It was a command. Oh, Lord. Well, next week or week after next or next month, something or other, the rest of you Armenians are going to hit you too. And with the deacons, the office time ever was holding some of you Armenians down once it hit you. I don't know if you're going to understand it or not, but Jesus didn't call me with a question mark, Brother Dan. He called me with a command. It wasn't, Donnie, do you want to serve me? Do you understand when God calls a man to preach? When God called me when I was an 18-year-old boy, God never called me with a question. I'd go to pray and go to pray. Lord, I want to do something for you. What do you want me to do? Lord, I want to do something. He said, preach my word. I'd get up and start praying. I go back and pray again. Lord, I want to do something. What do you want me to do? Preach my word. Even when he called me, there was five aspects of the ministry he could have put me into. He didn't even give me a multiple choice of that. Why? Gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and they're not even up for debate. And let me tell you one thing, if it's that way with a preacher, how much more is it the eternal germ word of God? When God is calling on you, it's not in the form of a question. That's the way he calls Lot. He calls you with a command. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Your call is not whosoever will. Glory. My choice of him. Did you choose him, Brother Donnie? Oh, yeah. Of course. I still remember the night. I remember the place. That little Holiness Church sitting right there in the pine trees. They called it the Church in the Pines. Highway Holiness Church. Remember the man that preached. Don't remember what he said, but I just do remember him being there. I asked my mama that day, Mama, how you get saved? Because we weren't raised in a church going home. I felt him drawing me. I responded. Oh, see there, he saw your choice. Well, if that's the way you want to believe it, brother. I say it like this. My yes was a response simply to his yes. I was finally just saying what he said before the foundation of the world. My yes was the fruit or the outcome of his choice. Now, what was he going to come up and beat me over? You got to get saved. Of course not. He's going to wait on me, and I prolonged it, as Brother Ram said he did. He said, would he give his heart to God whenever he was a young boy, but there was a dark spirit that hung over him? Come on. Even though your name is on the book of life, it can be prolonged by stubbornness and all kinds of things that you go through. Many of you know that's the truth. Your free and moral agency is what you've gotten you in the mess you're in today. Choosing this and choosing that instead of choosing God. No doubt many of us would be further up the road if we'd said yes to God's yes a long time ago. But instead, we're so proud of our old ways, and I want this and I want that. When are we going to learn that our yes to his yes is going to make a greater Christian walk than anything we could ever produce in our works? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. That you should go forth, go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So their choice of him was the fruit of his choice for them. As John says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because Now remember, this was pre-Calvin and pre-Arminian. So the first apostolic age would have said, amen. And y'all just kind of said, you're an amen. We love him because he first loved us. And the apostolic restored Happy Valley Church said, amen. Now you're sounding first century. Let me close. Acts 9:15, speaking of Paul. And the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Ephesians 1:4, according to as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, what I want to know is, friends, if the Arminian view is right, why didn't Paul write it the way some of us believe it? That God chose us in him after he foresaw. You see what we're doing? We're adding to the scriptures. Oh my. Verse 5. Having. Don't think I will bleep that word? Having predestinated. Determined before. To predetermine. Decide beforehand. In the New Testament of God decreeing from eternity to foreordain a point beforehand. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to your choice, according to the good pleasure of his will. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, let's stand together and we'll read this one as we close. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. If you believe the truth today, it's because he chose you to believe. Glory. Paul didn't say after you chose him, then he chose you to believe it. But he chose you first. Brother Donnie, I still say I consented. Absolutely you did. Sure. Absolutely. You consented? Why y'all smiling about? And your yes agreed with his yes. Finally, he was down in the hog pen. And you come to yourself. And I've asked you before and I'll ask you again today. When the prodigal son was in the pig pen, was he a pig or a son? A son. And he come to himself. Did he have to make a move? Absolutely. But was he a son after he made the move or before? What? Before. So he was a son before he made the move to go back to Father. You're not far from the kingdom of God. That's the true parable. We'll look at it sometime in the book of Luke. And you take those coins and you take that building and you take all them parables and you put them all together. And it unveils completely the mystery of redemption. The woman who had the coins and she lost them. Jesus telling the same story over and over again. The man who had the sheep, and the sheep got lost. The prodigal son, and he got away. Jesus is unfolding the entire mystery of redemption. Not coming and buying something that is not yours, but redeeming back that which was yours. What did the woman do when she lost the coins? Her husband's coming. And they'd take them 10 coins and they'd put it in the tabret around the woman's head. Some of them put in 2 parts of them, they'd take it apart. The coins would fall out. So the husband was coming back and the woman got to sweeping the house and looking and looking. But what was the whole thing? Regaining something that was hers, which had been lost from her. What's the story of the prodigal son? Regaining a son back. Glory. Wasn't a sheep. A father went down there looking for a son. He said, I'm going to transform this hog to a son. Come on up out of there, yo sal. Come on by there, yo boar pig. I'm going to redeem you and make you a son of God. That's Arminianism's way of redemption. That's not God's way. Glory. Glory. Brother Donnie, I think you're wrong. Well, I appreciate your prayers. But I think I'll hold on to this until you can definitely show me something better. Amen. Fair enough? Can you imagine? Here, we worship God. When this prodigal son came back to his father, watch him. The adoration, the exaltation. He had something about the view of his father that he never had before he fell. He wasn't just a changed man in his position. But when he come back before his father, his whole view of his father had totally changed. Now he could genuinely worship. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I so thank you for sending us a prophet with a message. Let the world ridicule, laugh, make fun, let people do whatever they want to do. Lord, me and Carol was talking about it after church. Folks have left the message and ridiculing, making fun, and doing whatever they're doing. It ain't even slowing us down. We're just going right on. And they think there's so many people falling away from the message. And as a brother told me the other day, in Muslim countries, for every person who's left this message, there's been 10 Muslims come back to replace them. You'll get those whose name is on your book. And oh yes, you'll gently move on their hearts. For some here today, Lord, the allurement that the great mother eagle did as we looked at it Wednesday night, the allurement as you used in the book of Hosea, the word, you will allow us in our ignorance. You'll deal with us. Oh my. But the thing is, you get us to that place and then we can acknowledge, oh my Father, I'm coming home. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for truth. I thank you for putting up with us in our error. I look back at myself and think how long I've been a Christian. How long I've been preaching. I'll be 60 in July. I've been preaching since I was 18. Most of those years, I've only preached part truths. Many of those years, I preached absolute heresy. I didn't know it. I was sincere. Doctrines that was totally, completely wrong. Yet you and your grace, you helped me. You loved me. When I come to the message, Lord, and then I begin to embrace predestination, I didn't have a balance. I went straight toward Calvinism. If you wasn't bride, you wasn't even going. If you wasn't bride, bless God, you're going to hell. But a few years ago, you began to deal with my heart and help me to see. There'll be all kinds of folks out that ain't bright. I thank you for that. Also thank you that I've got a teachable spirit, and whenever I'm wrong, I can admit I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be like that today. Help us, Lord Jesus. For truly, this word is still turning our hearts. It's still turning our hearts back to the teaching of the apostolic fathers. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that one day something moved upon our hearts. I can see Calvin's view. Man's will is so depraved. He's in such a condition of depravity. How would man ever be able to consent to God? How would man ever be able to even say yes to God without a supernatural nudging? I can also see the Arminian side that man must obey. Man must say yes. Both of them are true. Lord, what I want is the truth that lays in the middle. I know I had to say yes. I know I had to surrender. And I'm so glad that you moved upon my heart to do it. But Lord, I don't remember me so much hungering and seeking for you. I remember something started stirring inside of me, asking about God. So should I take credit for that? Should I take credit that it was me looking for you, me seeking you? It was you, I believe, wooing me to respond to your command. Come and follow me. Praise God. We're glad today, Lord, we responded. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad, children? You responded to that call. Let's raise our hands. I'm not going to sing and argue with you, debate whether God move on your soul first or you done it. You want to believe it however you want to believe it. It's up to you. All I know is something happened. Something happened. Aren't you glad something happened? Aren't you glad something moved on you? And yes, you had to respond. It would do no good. You cannot be recognized as sons as long as you were in the world and in the devil and in the flesh and held captive. You must acknowledge that something as a prodigal son come to himself. But notice, he was not coming by the father calling, son, 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 where are you? That instant preacher's out there to find him. He came to himself. People miss church. Say, well, the church didn't call me. Nobody at the church called me. Brother Donnie didn't call me. That ain't nothing but a flimsy excuse. This prodigal son, who is calling him? Who went down knocking on the prodigal son's pig pen door and said, boy, you need to get back in church. He'd come to himself. But folks want to be babied in this age. Well, nobody called me. Nobody texted me. Nobody done this, that, and the other. If you want to serve God, you'll serve him whether or not we even shake your hand when you come to this church or not. Come on, friends. Let's be honest. It's absolutely excuses that will hold no water at the day of judgment. If God's moving on your heart, you'll respond to it because there's something wooing you. Thank God it did. Oh, thank God. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Hey, let's sing something. Let's just worship a little bit now before we get our lunch. Oh, my. Let's just close our eyes now and think. We've been called to this place of worship in Christ Jesus. Being formed into the image of God, for whom he did foreknow, them also did he predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why tussle and argue back and forth with things in your life and sins and back and forth with things that you're holding on to? Just give it up today. Just say yes to the Lord. Lord, help me, whether it's sins or whether it's theology. If there's something in you that cannot accept the word, ask God to just take it from you. That's all. How do we get loosed from things like this? We become washed by the water of the word. And then we ask God to mold in us principle by principle, article by article of faith, until it rebuilds and reshapes that image. Let's sing it together, hey. Let's just worship him now just a little before we go. Thank you.
Counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore.
Listen now.
He sees every sparrow that falls.
That falls.
He made the mountains and the
seas. And the seas.
He's in control of everything. Of all creatures great and small. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain,
thank you, Lord.
Can't
Lord,
see
yes.
the light of day,
Lord, yes, Lord.
I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Verse now.
I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know the answers to all the questions of life. But I know in whom I am. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, and He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, just fine. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This may be part of the mystery of the walking of our life, that maybe we'll never exactly know how it was. Whether it was Him that moved first or you that moved first. And maybe in your mind you recall it that you did this or that or the other. But I imagine when we get there that day, our trivial disputations that we have about the Word will matter very little. As we look around the throngs of the saints that are there, those who've come through so many battles and difficulties, the things in this life that so separated us, divisions of doctrines and whatever more, thank God all that will be gone then, and then we are able to see one another as we really are. You've never really seen me as I am, and I've never seen you as you are, but that day we'll be able to. I don't know about you, I long for that hour. I think by God's grace I've been called to live in the city, and I count it a great honor to be a resident of the bride's palace. For I see her as the headstone of the mountain, as the city comes down and all that together. I see her as being the tithing of the earth, the choosing of God. But no doubt our workings and our dealings will be with many, many, many multiple of millions of people that will live outside that city. I don't think myself that we're going to go around looking down at them all of our lives as if we are the upper echelon of the kingdom of God. Whatever causes us to do that now will not be there at that day. And there'll be those that will live outside the cities that cover the earth, and it'll be so vast that there'll be no more oceans and no more seas. And you think how much land mass that there is on the earth right now, but that will not be enough. There'll be so many people that'll live in that day, and we'll all be at peace. There'll be no sickness, no trouble. Nobody will ever even frown in that place. Nobody will ever cry any tears of sorrow. And then when we all sit there and He begins to unfold His plan, and when we're looking at it now, we're on this side of the glass darkly, and we're trying to perceive and understand and comprehend it. There, we'll certainly understand it better by and by, won't we? This is the most important thing. Make sure you make it. Satan, the prophet says in the rising of the sun, Satan doesn't care how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. Think of it. You could be so right in your doctrine, but if you don't have that life, you'll lay right there in that grave, or you'll be right here in your body when the rapture takes place. But make sure you have that life. You love Him with all your heart. Amen.
You love one another?
Yes.
Do you long to live with one another?
Yes.
For eternity?
Yes.
Oh, praise God. Let's sing together, "Look for Me," and we'll prepare to go. I hope you've enjoyed this weekend. Certainly been a blessing to me. I've certainly enjoyed preaching to you. Well, you say didn't answer all my questions. I wasn't trying to answer all your questions. My daddy's the only one who can do that. But hopefully it'll help you to study a little bit more. I'm still Armenian, and I still love you just as much. But I am going to pray for it. Because I believe in this lays part of the mystery of the bride recognizing who she is. You honestly think you recognizing that you're a sinner, you're no good and you're sorry, no count and worth nothing. You actually think that's going to help you in a rapture. It don't even help your attitude now. It's going to have something different from that, Brother Danny, for us to recognize who we are. Let's sing it together as we go. Lord willing, be having service Wednesday night and come back expecting the Lord to speak to us again. Look for Me, for I will be there too. I want you to turn around and shake somebody's hand before you go. I realize when you've arrived, there'll be so much to view after you've been there. 10,000 years, a million, maybe two. For me, for I will be there too. When you finally make your entrance to that city, jasper walls and bright golden avenues. Yes, Lord, as you behold, think of it, its beauty and its splendor. Remember, there's just one request I make of you. Look for me. Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you, saints? Will you look for me? Oh, I realize when you arrive. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Of you after you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two. For me, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As you go down your list of first, there's no question. You'll want to see your loved ones waiting there for you. Glory. And when you feel you, hallelujah, story with the last one who wants to hear you tell just how you've made it through.